Oh. The word of the Lord is found in the Epistle of James, the second chapter. Starting at the 14th verse, James says, "What does it profit, my brethren, though a man say he has faith and have not works, can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, Depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it has not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, Thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. If thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble." Several years ago, I guess about 6 or 7 years ago to be exact, there's a period of time in my life when things weren't going all that well. I was in a situation I thought I'd probably never get out of. I didn't know the Lord. I hadn't set my foot inside a church probably in the best part of 7 or 8 years. Something worked on my mind. Something entered my heart that told me the way I was going was wrong. That the path I had chosen in life was not the right path. Even though I had parents that are in this Church of Christ, I hadn't really paid much attention to the teachings and the doctrines. But my thoughts went back to those teachings that my parents had given me, to that belief in God, that faith in Jesus Christ that we must have. So I began searching. I went to several different churches. Most of them I went to not more than once, because what they had to offer was not filling the need I had inside me. Then I started visiting our brother Tony Grinzik, and I seen within him, within this church, those things that had been lacking. I seen within that small group of people, sometimes there wasn't any more than 5 or 6 of us that met together there. But, you know, I could see the workings of the Lord. I could see His Spirit working. I could see those things that I hadn't seen anywhere else. I started to see this gospel of Jesus Christ in action. I had started to see what the Lord had to offer to man. I had started to see the Lord had to offer me. So I was preparing my mind for this evening. Thoughts went through my mind. What scriptures to use and what thoughts to present. And I was having trouble. But something that our brother said this morning got my mind working, got my mind working towards the gospel of Jesus Christ. What it is and how it works. I think that James sort of sums up our part in this gospel to a certain extent. That faith without works is dead. We have to live daily the gospel as we know it. We've been given I believe the most precious thing that man can have. A gospel that gives us hope, that gives us love, that gives us communication to our Creator and Master. A gospel that teaches us the right things to do, gives us counsel, wisdom, understanding. A gospel that, if followed, will bring us joy in this life beyond no other joy. Not saying that we won't suffer trials or tribulations or sorrows. These are part of life. But the Lord helps us over these. It gives us a hope. Hope of eternity. Of eternal life with God. The hope that if we endure to the end of our life, obey this gospel, have that faith that we must have on Jesus Christ, that He will raise us up. A hope that in this life, if we have problems, if we have trials, if we have tribulations, if we have those things that burden us physically or spiritually, emotionally, that God, through the workings of His Spirit, through the love that He bestows unto the children of men and the love that we have one for another, that He can remove these burdens. He can take those things that trouble us and take them far from us. He can take a physical ailment, a spiritual trouble that we may have, a question, a doubt, a fear. If we take it to the Lord in prayer, in faith believing that He will hear and answer that petition before Him, we can have those things that we desire. We can have our witness to this gospel of Jesus Christ. We can have a personal revelation from God that this gospel is the truth. When I first came in contact with this gospel, I had reservations. I had those doubts in my mind that all of us have, I believe. You know, I took it in my own weak way at that time, because I didn't know how to pray. I didn't know how to approach God. All I knew is that you're supposed to get down on your knees. And I took my burden to God in the middle of the night. He gave me my witness. He gave me my assurance of this gospel. Each of us can have that assurance. Each of us can have that witness if we desire it, if we want it, if our minds and our hearts and our desire is to know the truth. Brothers and sisters, this gospel is the truth. This gospel of Jesus Christ is the word of God to children of man. You know, God cannot lie. Anything He gives us is truth. He gave us this gospel. And with that gospel, with what He gave us, I believe He gave us responsibilities, He gave us obligations, but He also gave us gifts. He gave us moral gifts. He gave us love, He gave us peace, joy, happiness. If we do those things that God has commanded us, we can have that eternal life. This gospel of Jesus Christ, I believe, has many facets and many parts to it. But I believe part of the gospel of Jesus Christ gave it to us. It's given on the Sermon on the Mount. I'm going to read it from the Book of Mormon on page 635. Page 635. I think I'll start at the 46th verse. Speaking of his 12 disciples, it says, "And unto them I have given power that they may baptize you with water. And after that ye are baptized with water, behold, I will baptize you with fire and with the Holy Ghost." The promise given to us. If we're baptized, believing, have that faith and that hope, that we'll be baptized with that Holy Ghost and with fire. "Therefore, blessed are ye if ye shall believe in me and be baptized after that ye have seen me and know that I am. And again, more blessed are they who shall believe in your words, because that ye shall testify that ye have seen me, that ye know that I am. And blessed are they who shall believe in your words and come down into the depths of humility and be baptized." Yes, we must be humble. We must submit ourselves unto God. God resisteth the proud. He gives grace to those that are humble. He requires a broken heart and a contrite spirit from His people. When we approach God, we must approach Him in that manner, in humility. "For they shall be visited with fire and with the Holy Ghost, and shall receive a remission of their sins. Yea, blessed are the poor in spirit. Come unto me, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And again, blessed are all they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are all they who do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled with the Holy Ghost." Now, how do you feel if you've been working hard all day and haven't had time to eat, haven't had time to get much to drink? You know, when the evening mealtime rolls around, you get pretty hungry and you could eat a lot. Do we feel the same way about this gospel of Jesus Christ? Do we have that same hunger, that same thirst within us for the truthfulness of this gospel? Do we have the same desire to know and to serve Jesus Christ as we should have? Do we have completely committed ourselves to God? Are there things that would keep us away? Things of the world? Things that we may not deem important? We may not deem that would be of any consequence? But sometimes it's the small things. Sometimes it's those things within us that we feel doesn't matter whether we keep them or cast them aside. Sometimes these are the important things. Sometimes we feel that it's not really important if we rid ourselves of all our imperfections and all our weaknesses. That God will be understanding, that God will wink at a couple sins that I may hang on to, a couple things within me that keep me from being pure. But brothers and sisters, if we know there's something within us that is wrong, something out of place, and we don't attempt to correct it, we'll be held accountable. "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." Blessed are all the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are all they who are persecuted for my name's sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Maybe the hardest one that applies to us. I think we're all fearful of being ridiculed or persecuted for any reason. And I think more so if that reason is the gospel of Jesus Christ. But all these people that he's talking about, the meek, the merciful, the pure in heart, the peacemakers, those that are persecuted, do we fall in that category? Are we meek? Are we pure in heart? Do we seek after righteousness? Or do we seek our own will and our own way in this world? Do we fight against the counsels of God? You know, sometimes we can without even knowing it. How many of us have had days when it's very hard to pray? When it's very hard to get down on your knees to approach God? I believe that we're resisting the Spirit and the counsel of God if we give in to that temptation not to pray. This is just an example that came to my mind of how we can resist God and not seek His counsel. How we can be proud in our own heart and feel maybe we don't have to or it's not necessary today. Or that maybe God wouldn't listen to me anyway. You know, God hears each and every prayer that's offered. God listens. He blesses us according to our desires, according to that faith and that humility and that righteousness within us. So as we progress in this gospel, we're to become a certain type of people. We're to portray to the world a certain type of people. As we work, as we play, as we converse with each other and with the world, we're expected to portray a certain image to each other, to God, and to the world. And as we witness onto the world, if they know that we believe in a gospel and in a set of beliefs that we have, they start watching us. And they start watching to see if we practice what we preach. And if we don't, then we can be held accountable for that. As we grow in this gospel, we should take upon us certain attributes, certain moral and spiritual qualities. And as we grow, these become stronger. As these become stronger and more abundant within us, those things that would draw us away and take us to the world should become less and less. This gospel of Jesus Christ tells me that certain people will inherit the kingdom of God and others will not. And as we live this life, as we progress towards the end of our time, the end of our days, we must possess certain things. If we've come in contact with this gospel, if we know God's will concerning us, and if we know what He's given us, then there's must certain things that we must possess. We must be meek. We must be humble. We must be pure. We must have charity. We must have virtue, righteousness. We must have that love of God. In Philippians, the fourth chapter, in the 8th verse, he says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. These are the way our thoughts should be. We should be thinking on these things, not on the things of the world, things that would draw us away. The things that God has to offer. Those counsels. Those gifts. Fruits of the Spirit. What we can be doing for God. Those good things that we can be doing. Those things that would lead us to perfection. As we study and learn and progress, we should keep these things in mind. Keep these things that would make us better people. Keep these things in mind and how we can apply them to our lives and how we can change. And let us not be satisfied with what we have, with the qualities that we have. You know, God said He wanted a peculiar people, a people that would stand out, a people that would not act or think or talk the same as the run-of-the-mill world. And do we? Do we stand out at work, or do we stand out at school in our conversation? Do we, as the people of Christ, portray what He would want us to portray? Do we act daily the same way we would act if Christ were by our side? If He came into our homes, would we have to change our manner of living? If He went to work with us, would we have to change the way we work, the effort we put in, or how we get along with our fellow workers? Would we have to change any of these things? Or could we open the door to our home and say, come on in. I've been expecting you. I've been preparing for you. Or we have to stammer and hum and haw and try and close that door and tell him to come back later when our house was in order. Open the door to our home and say, come on in. I've been expecting you. I've been preparing for you. Or we have to stammer and hum and haw and try and close that door and tell him to come back later when our house was in order. What would our reaction be if he came knocking on our door? If we're going to be that peculiar people, if we're going to be the people that Jesus Christ expects. And I think sometimes we don't really realize the depth of what we have to possess. The things that we must do. That spirit of worship and humility we must have. And how humble we must become. How pure in heart we must be. I don't think sometimes we realize exactly what God expects of us. Sometimes we tend to look at the side that He is all merciful and all compassionate, that He'd overlook certain weaknesses within us. But sometimes when I sit and think that we're not giving enough, that He requires much more than this people has given us. He requires more of our time, our effort, our thoughts, our praise, our worship, more of our love. He desires more of our effort and our time on those things that be constructive, both to the spiritual and the physical well-being of His people, to the spreading of this gospel, that would be more constructive to strengthening each of these people here and to the spreading of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, we sometimes criticize. We sometimes talk about people. I know I have. You know, and a lot of times it's much easier to criticize or condemn someone than it is to help. You know, it takes less effort to say that brother so-and-so is such and such a way or sister so-and-so does such and such a thing than it is to take the time to try and understand why that person did that thing or acts that way. Than to take the time to get to know that person better and see how we can help. It's much easier to turn that person off and to shut them out of our life than it is to open our hearts to their needs, their thoughts, their desires. To share with them and let them share with us their thoughts and what they would like. And to find out why the person may not be the way that we think they should be. You know, we have a certain way that we look at people and a certain way we look at the world. And if people don't conform to what we feel or what we think they should be, we sometimes automatically think that, well, they're wrong and I'm right. We fail to look at ourselves from their point of view. Or to look at them, see how they would look at us with the thoughts that we would have. But God requires of us a people that are humble and a people that have that desire to help other people, to have that love that Jesus Christ would have for us. I don't believe that Jesus Christ would condemn a person needlessly. I don't believe that He would turn His back on a person in need, whether it be a physical need, an emotional need, or a spiritual need. I don't believe that He would turn His back. And I don't believe that He expects any less of us, His people. You know, I've seen in this church, I've seen in this Phoenix local, a love that I didn't know existed. You know, the path that I was taking in the world, if a guy went up and put his arm around a girl, you know, you kept your eye on him. You know, see, he just allowed to steal your girlfriend or your wife or whatever. That was the way that things were. When I came to this church and seen, you know, the show of love that the people had, I really couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe what was going on. You know, and it was strange to me. But as I learned, and as I studied, as I seen the workings of God within this people, as I seen the love that radiated one from another, all the past fears and doubts that I had passed away. And I looked at things and I seen it in a new light. You know, and the love that is here, people of the world would not believe it. But you know, I know deep down inside me that the love that we could have would be unbelievable to us. And I believe that we must strive always for that love that God expects of us. That charity that He tells us about. He mentions it several times in the Scriptures. Peter tells us how to obtain it. Paul tells us what charity is and those things that we must possess to have it. And I know that if each of us possessed each and every one of those things that Paul writes about charity, how much greater the love would be in this people. And I believe that until we obtain the love that Jesus Christ expects of us, until we have more love for the souls of men than any other thing in this world, until we reach that point, I don't believe this gospel of Jesus Christ will be spread with that power that's going to. I believe that the greatest love that we must have is for those millions and millions of souls that have not heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. Until we become so concerned for the value of a human soul that it hurts. That it hurts when somebody doesn't believe or we miss an opportunity. Until we reach that point, I don't believe that this gospel will be spread with the power that it's going to be. And as we look around us, and as we see the type of people that are in the world, you know, there's probably hundreds of different types of people. Psychologists try to lump everybody into one or two or three categories. I don't believe you can do it. I believe that there's so many different personalities and different types of people. And we have to learn to deal with each one. We have to learn of their needs and their requirements and be able to supply what they need. I believe there's people out there searching for the truth. I believe there's people there that when they hear the truth, they won't believe it. But that doesn't lessen our responsibility to try to give it to them. And we don't know which one's going to accept and which one's going to reject this gospel. But we must spread it with love. And it must be spread by the power of God. And I believe that this handful of people in the Church of Christ have been given the responsibility of spreading this gospel. That we've been given the responsibility of taking the plan of salvation to the children of men. And I believe we'll be filled with power. That Spirit of God will work with this people mightily. That the Spirit of God will give this ministry power and authority, will give us utterance, will give us such a portion of that Spirit that people will not be able to deny what we have to say. That when we explain this gospel of Jesus Christ, that when we proclaim this gospel to the world, people won't be able to deny it. They may not believe it, but they won't be able to deny it. And this is what we must be working for. This is what we must strive to become, that kind of people. A people that God can use, that He can pour out His Spirit, and that we could receive it. I really think, and it makes me sad, that we have a ways to go. That we are still falling short of what we must be. I went to a Wisconsin reunion. I believe Debbie was there at that time, about 4 years ago. And a young chap was baptized. And the Spirit of the Lord that was there that I felt was so powerful that I knew that if He poured out any more of His Spirit upon me, that I couldn't stand it. But I couldn't stand the fullness of the Spirit of God. And I believe that we must become a more righteous people in order for God to use us to the fullest of His design for us. That we're falling short. That we're not living up to our commitment. That we're not giving our all to Jesus Christ. That there's too many other things keeping us from being those servants that He desires. Whether it's personality conflicts, whether it's things that we do, things that we say, places we go, only we individually can analyze ourselves and see where we fall short. But I think it's important that each of us do, that each of us look at ourselves honestly. Now, I can lie to myself. I can say that I'm pretty good. I don't do too much wrong. You know, I can't lie to Jesus Christ. He knows. He knows my thoughts. He knows my desires. He knows what's in my heart. And I can't lie to Him. He knows what must be changed within me. He knows what must be changed within each one of us. If we're not honest with ourselves and try to improve ourselves and go on to perfection, we're going to have to give an account of our lack at the judgment day. And we're not going to be able to lie. Because Christ can look into our hearts and we'll know at that day where we've fallen short and what we've done wrong. Page 768. This scripture has been read across this pulpit many times. But I believe it's an important scripture. I believe it's a scripture that we should take and we should analyze. And we should apply it to our lives. And I believe that we should possess all those things that charity is. Charity suffereth long. Kind, envieth not, not puffed up, seeketh not her own. Let's think of these words. Let's think what they mean. How we can apply them to ourselves. And what type of people we must be if we're to be possessed of charity at the final day. If we're to have charity when Christ returns, let us think upon what kind of people we must be. Let us think upon those things that we must have in our hearts and our minds when Christ returns to have charity. And I believe if we don't have charity, as Paul said, we are nothing. Yes, we love one another. I believe each of us love God and Jesus Christ. But do we love one another? Do we love Jesus Christ the way He expects us to? Are we measuring up, or are we falling short? It's not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, if ye have not charity, ye are nothing. For charity never faileth. Wherefore, cleave unto charity, which is the greatest of all, for all things must fail. But charity is the pure love of Christ. What kind of love did he have for us? What kind of love did he have for us to endure the humiliation and the pain of the cross? What kind of love did God have that he sent his Son, knowing what he had to go through, knowing the things that he would have to endure, knowing the death that he would have to take upon himself? Imagine the love that he had. And it endureth forever, and whoso is found possessed of it at the last day, it shall be well with them. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, pray unto the Father with all the energy of heart, that ye may be filled with this love, which he has bestowed upon all those, upon all who are true followers of his Son, Jesus Christ. That ye may become the sons of God, that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is, that we may have this hope, that we may be purified, even as he is pure. That we shall be like him. That we can have the same mind, the same love, the same compassion as Jesus Christ. These are the things that we must work towards. These are the things that God expects and requires of this people. I'd like to read two verses from the admonition. It's number 265 in the book. I'd like to read the 6th and the 7th verses. Love ye me and love all people. Love as I have loved you. This your calling, this my purpose. Thus be my disciples true. Then in this exalted station, your companion I will be. Every promise of my scripture will be verified in thee. Get ye up, then to your mountain, Zion of this closing day. For the glory of my coming waits to break upon your way. Forth from thence your testimony shall to trembling nations go, and the world confess that with you God has residence below.
Thank you, Brother Ken.
Let us keep in mind the message that our brother brought to us, and let's stand and sing number 217.
Come through here before he even lived out here. He told me about the people of Nova Scotia.
been praying for. And I've been praying for those brothers and sisters there for a long time. And they come out here and have a meal. And boy, it's a joy. It's a joy to meet those who touch the heart and who you've never seen them personally. And it's really something when you have a chance to meet them physically. I'd like to give the announcement at this time. Monday at 7:30, there'll be a reading meeting in Karen Malone's home. That's Monday at 7:30. At 7:30 Monday, there'll be a priesthood meeting in Don McAdoo's home. Wednesday, there'll be a song service here in the chapel. Next Saturday at 7:30, there'll be a young people's prayer service at the church with the young adults. The two will be together for a prayer service next Saturday. And I hope that the sister that was here this morning with us, Anita, that was her name, Anna, the sister Anna, she said she'd like to come back and meet with the people, and meet with the young people, the young adults, Saturday if they have a prayer service. There's a good chance that they'll be back. So I'd like to ask you to keep Anna in mind. I visited with her today, like I know some of the rest of you did, and I found her a real nice young lady. And she has a desire to come back and visit with us, and let's offer a prayer as we have our devotions and our secret places and close the door. Let's hold that family up to our Father in heaven as well. Next Sunday morning, there will be Sunday school as usual at 10 o'clock and a sacrament service at 11. Next Sunday evening at 6:30, there will be a song service. And at 7 o'clock, there will be a worship service, and my brother Norman Orfield will be the speaker at that time. Again, I'll tell you that the referendum bill and the adults are on the bulletin board out back in the kitchen. Let us keep in mind the message that our brother brought to us, and let's stand and sing number 217. Thank you.